Oh, fresh whitening of the snow as it was getting a little dingy, and now it's kind of a little whiter and brighter. I did like this one because it was nice and light and fluffy. I like the light, fluffy snow. It's the wet, heavy stuff that is difficult and discouraging. The white, fluffy is so much nicer. And we did have a membership class yesterday, and I had three people who did attend. We are planning at this point to receive new members the Sunday before our annual meeting. Our annual meeting is going to be the 31st, so I believe that would be like the 25th, if my numbers are right. But if you were unable to attend the membership class and would like to join and are not a member, just get a hold of me and we can take care of that on an individual basis. But we need to get it done. It's not a very much involved process. It's 4 to 6 hours, depending upon how many questions we have. And it requires that you be in agreement with the beliefs and statements and the purpose of the Christian Mission Alliance and this church. Build me on that. I'll talk with you individually. And again, if you have any interest in this, we want to just want you to know that you are invited to be a member if you would like to be. You don't have to be, but we would like you to be. And we would. So, that's it. Okay. We're continuing in our traditional January stewardship series. Part two this week is working for the owner. Last week was owned, recognizing the fact that we indeed are owned. So let's turn to one of the parables that Jesus speaks in Matthew, the parable of the tenants, which is in Matthew chapter 21. We'll start with the 33rd verse. Maybe. There we go. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes'? Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but on whom it falls will be crushed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, which is presented for us. Lord, we also thank you for your Holy Spirit, which gives us true understanding of it. Lord, give us that supernatural understanding which comes from the revelation of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as you prick our hearts and cause us to recognize who you are and who we are, Lord, might we respond with love and thankfulness. And Lord, might we respond in such a way that we are good servants of you, the owner of the vineyard. Now, Lord, we ask that you would, that your anointing would be upon me as I come and preach. Lord, I ask that my words would be an encouragement to each one here. Lord, if it rebukes any, might it be a rebuke that comes with encouragement and comes out of love. And might it be received as a correction and not a condemnation. Lord, might each of us here know you and know your will and follow you each and every day. Now, Lord, be glorified here in this service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, here in this parable, is speaking to those who have questioned his authority. This is after his triumphal entry. He's come in and they've called Hosanna to him, and people have thrown palm fronds down, their cloaks down, and he rode in on the colt of a donkey, one that had never been ridden before, and fulfilling prophecy after prophecy, saying, "This is the Messiah." And then people came to him and said, "Who are you? By what authority do you speak? Do you do the things you do?" Last week, we kind of dealt with that when we look at God and the world. We say, "By what authority, God, do you tell us what to do? By what authority, God, are you in charge?" We see the fact that God created. And even in this parable, we see that it was the owner of the vineyard that built the vineyard. Just as it was the owner who built the world, the universe, God. And it was the owner who set tenants into it to work. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, in early in creation story, said, "The Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." God created us for fellowship. He also created us for a job. He gave us a job, a task to do, to care for his creation. Unfortunately, due to our sin, we were tossed out of Eden. And in chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he'd been taken." We still have a job. The job didn't go away just because our location changed. And even after the flood, God renews this call. And God said, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth.'" And then in verse 7 says, "And for you to be fruitful and increase in number and multiply the earth and increase upon it." Tells us that we're supposed to spread out and take care of the earth. That everything on it that moves will be food for us. we're to care for it. This is God's word, direction, telling us His creation, a particular part of His creation, that we are to have stewardship of it, that we're to be taking care of it. Now here in the parable that we're looking at today, the parable of the tenants, God has created the earth. The owner of the vineyard has built the vineyard. He planted the vines. He put a wall around it. He dug a wine press in it and even built a watchtower. It's quite some nice vineyard. All the work's done. All that's rest right now is that somebody come and care for it, and it will produce its fruit. So he brings in renters. And says, care for it, and I'll be back. Well, the renters decided they didn't like being renters. That they wanted to claim the vineyard as their own. After all, they were doing the work. Isn't it only right that they keep it all? Did they create it? No. It's not right. And the owner of the vineyard sends for what is rightfully his. For his portion of the fruit. He's going to let them keep most of it for doing the work, but he wants his portion. The part that comes from the work that he did. The part that is rightfully his, and yet these tenants, these servants, they said no. They denied his request for what was rightfully his, disrespected his messengers, beat them, killed them, abused them, even to the point of attempting to steal the inheritance by killing the son. Now let me ask you just this question. If I go and kill your child, do I get their inheritance? But yet this is what they thought. They wouldn't have accepted it for anybody else to do towards them, yet this is the way they were acting towards the owner of the vineyard. In essence, in the story, towards God. Well, interesting response here is Jesus asks, what will he do to those tenants when the owner comes? See, the owner doesn't come by himself. The owner comes in power. The owner has the authority. The owner has the strength to overcome any tenants, any group of tenants. And what was the response of the people, the ones who were actually questioning Jesus' authority? Listen, those wretched people are going to be made even more wretched. They're wretched because of their actions. It says, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end. He's going to bring those bad people to a bad end. This was the response of those who weren't getting it. Even they saw that. Now, this whole topic of what the end is going to be like and the world and our relationship to it, and Jesus saying, is we're This parable, the point of the parable is to point out that God is the owner of the vineyard and we are His servants. To point out how we need to give what is due God to God. How we need to be faithful tenants. Because if we aren't, He's going to take away what we have and give it to somebody else and give us a wretched end. And He says that in many different ways in several different parables. A couple other parables. One is in chapter 24, Matthew again, starting with verse 45. It says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food in proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. If I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time.' And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come home on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware of. And he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is not a pleasant end. I like being one piece. The wise servant. Is the one who cares for those under him. And does what his master's will is. And doesn't abuse it and use it for himself, for his own self-aggrandizement. Doesn't abuse his power and authority. He can eat well, but he shouldn't be abusing it and eating beyond what he should, taking more than is rightfully his, and behaving as a drunkard and acting with drunkards. That's just not what he's supposed to be doing. And we have the parable of the talents. And this, chapter 25, verse 14, starts out and says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." Okay, now, I'm going to stop right there for a moment. But all three of these illustrations that Jesus is using to talk about the kingdom of God and what's going to happen when He comes back and the basis of God's authority puts humanity in one position each and every time, and God in one position each and every time. God is always the owner, and we are always the servants. It's who we are. It's what we are. Last week we talked about He owns us. He created us. He bought us. And He's sovereign. Now He owns all there is. This building, it's God's. This wallet, it's God's. Everything I have, everything you have, it's not yours, it's His. It's on loan. He's put it into our care so that we can best benefit His kingdom. He uses it to bless us, yes. But we're supposed to do with what He gives us what we can so that it might increase. We're supposed to take care of it well. We're supposed to take care of this earth. We're supposed to be good employees. We're supposed to do things in such a manner so as to promote the kingdom of God. We're not supposed to take what God gives us and hide it in a hole. We're not supposed to take what God gives us and attempt to steal it for ourselves. We're not supposed to take the authority that He has and abuse it to fulfill our own selfish desires. That's not what we're supposed to do. Starting in verse 19 of 25, it says, "And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. See, well then, you should have put the money on deposit in the bank so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the end of the parable on the talents, we have the tenants being evicted and new tenants being put in its place. We have the story of the servant being caught in malfeasance, being cut up and cast out. We have the servant who just doesn't do anything. He's not stealing, and he's not abusing. He's just lazy. He doesn't do anything. God gave him something, and he did nothing with it. All of them receive the same end. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Not what I want. I like the other one better. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness. Yeah! That's what I want. And all that was required of this, at the very least, is if you just would have put it in the bank and just get back the interest. At the very least. Couldn't you at least do that much? That's not hard. We need to recognize the fact that we don't work for us. We work for the owner of the vineyard. We work for the master who gives us the talents. We don't work for us, we work for him. And so does everybody else. Whether they acknowledge it or not, anybody ever been at a place of employment where people say, I don't care what the boss says, I'm going to do what I want to do? Anybody ever been there, seen that? How long do those people normally last? Usually not too long. Donna's a manager. She tends to, when somebody gives her that attitude, she says, well, there's the door. Bye. And there's much weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But you wouldn't do that for your employer and expect to keep your job, at least if you do, you're sorely mistaken, because the fact of the matter is that you won't keep it for long, and you certainly won't get, when there is a cut, guess who's going to get the axe? You'll be the first one in line. It's the same way when we work for God. We can pretend we're not working for Him, that we're working for ourselves, and it's just not the reality. And when He comes and He says, okay, I'm here, give me what you're supposed to, we can't say no and not be in rebellion. And if we're in rebellion, He will cast us out. And our end will be bad. But you see, if we are faithful servants, if we at least try as best we may to do what our Lord has directed us to do, He blesses us. He welcomes us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness. What's required is that we recognize that He is indeed our master. What's required is that we do render to Him that which He has told us to render to Him. What's required is that we work for Him and His benefit as our number one focus instead of seeking just for self. Now, if I'm working at a vineyard and I'm doing the best job I can and we get a bumper crop and the owner of the vineyard comes and says, give me my percentage, the owner gets more than he would have if I hadn't been a good employee or been really faithful and worked hard at it. But then so do I get more. I too am blessed. If I am really that good employee, if I'm really that good servant, that good steward, I am blessed. But as I'm working for God, He blesses me too. As we work for God, He blesses us. It's only when we try to work for ourselves, we try to usurp God's, what is God's, and take what is God's, that we run into problems. Now, for the short term, we can sometimes see some short-term benefit. The owners, or not the owners, but the tenants in the vineyard, they had at least a season or two or more of keeping all the harvest. Things were going good as far as they were concerned. But ultimately, what was their end? Those wretched people met a wretched end. They were wretched. They had to have been worried constantly. When's the owner going to show up? How are we going to deal with him? I mean, boy, we took care of his servants. You know, he sent those other guys and we ran them off or we killed them. And then, boy, then we killed his son. And we thought that we'd get the owner. But you know what? We didn't get the title in the mail after we killed him. So I guess that didn't get us the inheritance. Wonder when the owner's going to show up. And the owner does eventually show up. And that's the case with each and every one of us. Is the owner of the vineyard going to find that we've been faithful tenants? And when he shows up and asks for what is his, we will give him what is due him? When the master returns from his trip, is he going to find us to have been faithful servants who have cared for those under our authority? When he comes back from his journey, is going to find that the talents that we've given, that we've taken them and we've invested them wisely and we've done what we could to increase them so that we could present Him with more than what He left us with. We can do that. We will be able to do that if the place that we're coming from is recognizing the fact that we're working for God. We start running around thinking that we work for ourselves and that God works for us. People, we're going to be in a world of hurt. It's only when we recognize that God is the owner and we are the servants that we have the proper relationship set up, that we can ultimately receive the best blessing, which is the well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into your master's happiness. Be safe. Be a faithful servant. And the owner God will give you an expanded eternal happiness, much beyond that which you ever experienced here on earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are indeed the owner. We aren't the ones in charge, You are. So Lord, might we indeed look to You for our guidance and direction as the owner. Might we remember to give You that which is Yours, as You've directed us to. And Lord, might we be faithful servants who do Your will always, whether You're there to watch us or whether You have left us alone for a time. May we always remember that You are there and that we will have to answer for what we have done. Or might we, our answer always be, Father, I did as You directed. Here is what You gave me plus the fruits of my labor. May it be pleasing to You. Lord, help us to be those good stewards that we might best live in the blessing of the living God for all of eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close. We'll be singing, Father, I Adore Thee.